Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. Limited agenda here today. Item number one is update on the scope of Food and Friends facility. Mr. O'Hare's here, not on a specific element, but come on up. And number two is advisory committee, advisory board's efficacy. And then number three is review of board's weekly calendar. And then other. So let's do the scope of Food and Friends first. The reason I wanted this on the general discussion is a couple of things. I think we need regular updates about the progress that Food and Friends is doing and anything the board can do to help out in that process to get it, to keep it on schedule, if not expedited. The other thing that was an issue I'd like to probably just get some direction from the board on is, what's the scope of the new facility going to be, and is there a charter assigned to that from the CBD grant? We're the applicant on behalf of the Food and Friends, and for me, it's not just a real quick, my thought is that it shouldn't be just limited to a place for meals for seniors. It should be pretty broad in scope. We don't have a senior center, ironically, in Grants Pass. Cave Junction does. It seems like a senior center is really what the community needs. And that facility, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to tour it, but it's quite large relative to what they're using.
That's
right now.
Church up on 10th?
Yep.
9th.
10th Street in St. Anne's.
I've been in it before.
It's really big, and I know that they had the thought of providing extra space for maybe other tenants or whatever, but for me, I think it's really, given that this county is contributing through CBD nearly $600,000, $700,000, I'd really like to have a little bit of influence over what the scope of that building is going to be used for, if outside of the original meals program, to have seniors.
Are they going to serve meals there, or and then make meals for the Meals on Wheels program? Is that what they do?
Yep.
But they're going to serve. They've got like a, they're going to have like a cafeteria. Where people.
I think that's the sanctuary is going to be that meeting hall space where they'll provide meals on
a long time ago.
Basis.
Doing that done over at the campus on 4th Street.
You know, I don't know where it was. It's been at the 4-H.
Meals
and
Wheels
was at 4th and C Street where Community Corrections was. And then when Community Corrections took over, they had to find a new location in the 4-H building since then.
Oh, the Food and Friends.
I'm
saying the senior center.
The disability.
There was a senior.
Now, the Vitality Center was a senior center.
Right.
Which was supposed to
be. I was talking about the meals thing because I used to know elderly lady that would go to the meals.
But they do still serve meals at the 4-H building.
Yeah.
And deliver them.
So I understand what Commissioner Hare, let me read what the scope of service for the architectural contract that they are in the middle of getting approved is that the scope of service says the contractor, which is the ORW Architects, will provide architectural engineering that will transform existing building into a thriving senior resource center. Senior resource center.
A cultural element.
That will serve seniors throughout Josephine. It'll extensive renovation, provide commercial warming and support spaces, and provide several leasable spaces for associated community organizations. So at least that gives you a glimpse of what the original intent was. I think your statements elaborate on that or refine it to the point where, you know, exactly what are we talking about? What are we wanting to provide? What is RV COG and Food and Friends wanting to provide with that center? And I can certainly follow up on that.
I think I'd just like to have some direction from the board and maybe reach out to Michael and just, you know, what are you, what are those other things that you're looking to round out the services, just be on the food program? I don't have any idea of, I mean, working with them for a couple of years on this, I don't really know past the meals program what they're looking to try to provide for senior citizens, but I feel like there's probably a pretty big need out there in the community for this. And I,
well, maybe they address that with the leasable place spaces for other, I don't know, the government entities to go in there, or
yeah,
who, you know, with it.
Well, and I think that was, that's kind of the feeling right now, is what are you talking about? What
would
are
there
you
be
looking
a spot
at?
For like veteran services, referral for people who are needing some sort of care? I don't know, life planning.
I'm curious of the timing of kind of, is it just in getting an update on the building, kind of asking about the other stuff?
Maybe we just wait till that update. And
I don't know. I mean, it's possible to email him and ask him, but I also know he said they were going to be doing other stuff with that building. They had mentioned all of these things that you're bringing up as potentials for that space. So is there something to the timing of us inquiring right now about it versus
when it's done, I thought, earlier rather than...
No, I'm not talking about when it's done, but, I mean, they're supposed to be giving us regular updates on the progress. And if we, as they're developing, we can ask those specifics. But I thought it was already a part of their plan, so...
I'd heard that, and then I'd heard other things.
So okay.
From people who had kind of explored the options with Mr. Cavallaro, and his response was a little bit more focused on the Meals on Wheels.
If they're transforming that whole building just for Meals on Wheels, that's a waste of space.
That's what I think. I mean, it's a $1.2 million project.
Yeah, 1.3, almost 1.4.
But isn't a good portion of that renovation of the parking lot, blah, 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 blah. There's an awful lot of stuff that goes into that to get that thing off
the
ground.
It's the federal stuff. It's they're having to re-gut.
Geothermal, or not geothermal.
The program's important. I'm just saying that there's a whole bunch of space up there that can be utilized a lot more efficiently.
That's where I was hoping that, I don't know what it looks
and
like, but having a group
here,
of people...
When he was sitting here, he said they were going to do that.
Having a group of people who know what those services ought to look like, and then being able to weigh in and say, you know, guide, Mr. Who is that group? I don't know who they are.
Well, I think Mr. Cavallaro is probably focused on what, on that. They've got a grant that they need to satisfy first. And that grant doesn't have anything in their requirements that you're going to have a senior services and you're going to have veteran services.
Well, that's actually what he just, not the veterans, but he just read the CBDG charge, the scope.
Well, actually, that's the contract with the architect, ORW.
I think I'd want to see what the CBDG grant requires, because
you have to satisfy that grant.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's that scope of work. It's just what the grant is going to be used for. Stop right there and not probably cloud it with, we're going to do all this other stuff. That'll come later, maybe. It's like a phase two.
Yeah, I just like to not wait till it's done and start thinking about, you know, in a year from now, what are those other groups?
Something you can plan for.
Yeah.
Well, I met Pat Ellison, and I met with Lisa Marston, I think is her last name. She's the RV COG individual working with Michael to make this happen. And she took Pat Foley's place as far as the coordinator for this project.
Morning.
We met with her, chatted about the details of what needs to happen in order to move forward with the grant. But the point being, I am sure that she and Mike would be more than happy to come here at whatever, you know, convenience, just to clarify some of those issues. Now that we're this much further down the road in the CDBG project, have those specifics been identified? Are we working towards them? What is your plan to identify how those other leasable spaces are configured, or what programs can go in them? I think that's reasonable. Yeah.
Or at least schedule one for this fall.
Yeah. So
I heard somebody who was interested in trying to help out in that effort of, you know, reflecting what the community senior population was looking for, and it didn't go real well. So I just figured, well.
Well, then definitely we should have that conversation.
Yeah. I just wanted to know. Because that's, I think, what you guys were thinking was the same thing I was thinking. And then when I heard how that went, I was like, well, wait a second, that's not exactly... We're a partner in this, because it's doing more than just, you know, these things. It's casting a wide net. And if that net isn't... I don't want it to be hampered too much this stage in the game. It should be pretty broad. So anyway.
Well, now is the time because they're working on the design and the development of those plans. So
yeah.
And okay. If they come back and say, no, we didn't consider any of this other stuff, then that is a concern.
Yeah.
Because on the planning stage, that now is the time basically to talk about it and say, you know, what else you got going on with
it? Right, yeah. And what other programs can we line up for utilizing some of that space? Because you don't want it just sitting there and being wasted, because it is a big building. So, well, that was what I wanted to chat about.
Okay.
So we'll reach out to Michael and schedule something for later on.
Right, on a Thursday, like the today thing, or Tuesday?
Tuesday's
or?
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. We'll do.
So we've all got a list of, thank you very much, Oliver. Anything else for him while he's here? Run quickly. I'm just kidding. Thanks. So just to be as efficient as possible, reviewing our many advisory committees, I have some really quick thoughts on these. A lot of them we don't have a choice on, like the 4-H Extension Services District. We are that board, and as long as that district exists, we're going to be in charge on the public sector, and then you've got the private sector, 3 representatives for the budget committee. That's what those people are listed there for.
What are the highlights? Why are they highlighted?
I think they're coming up for 2017-16, or their appointments expired. Is that what that means?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a thought about the Forest Advisory Committee and the Mining Advisory Committee and combining them to a degree and broadening their scope. I've wanted to create a coordination committee probably for 6 years here, just haven't made it happen. It's going to take a fair amount of work. We did have a coordination committee that wrote our coordination plan, and so that was really important. Got that done a few years ago, which we send to all of the federal agencies on an annual basis. But getting the Forest Advisory Committee reestablished was something we did in 2013. Commissioner Haugen helped in that effort because it was operating when he was here, and then it just sunsetted. What was great about it is we got the that group together to do the inventory review. We'll make a recommendation about which contractor to select and then do the inventory review, and now we're maintaining it. There's a lot of things that we've done that we needed the Forest Advisory Committee, but I don't know that we really need it too much anymore. The Mining Advisory Committee was really reorganized to review 83-8. I think an order passed in 1983 that has to do with mining on county lands. And so they reviewed that extensively 2 years ago and found that there wasn't really anything that could be done to that process of getting a permit or lease from the county to go mine on county property. That isn't the challenge. It's the next step when you have to go to get state and federal permits to do it. So our process is pretty easy, they said. So
should, if you wanted to put those together, would you make it like a natural resources committee?
That's basically what a coordination committee is, but it also deals with recreational components. So there's fishing people, and we can talk more about what a coordination committee is. I visited a couple of counties as far away as Owyhee County in Idaho, which is probably one of the most aggressive coordination counties, maybe in the nation. They're like on the map. When you want to talk about coordination, you call them up. Really great group of people, but I was at a meeting over on the east side, and I just popped over there real quick and spent a few hours with them. But that was one thought of being more efficient, is you could roll those two elements into maybe subcommittees of the coordination committee, or I'm not really sure, but something to that effect. But I know that there's it's just a good idea to look from time to time and make sure that what we have is really what we need. So those are the two that I'll if we're okay with that, I'll look at that.
When's the last time forestry met?
It's been probably 2 years.
I mean, I know we talked about the coordination committee and getting that going. I think that option seems to be the wisest to me. that they become subcommittees of the coordination committee.
Great. That's what I was thinking, too.
On the Board of Health, I have forwarded the resignation. Somebody submitted Alethea Kassara. She had resigned probably last month sometime. So that's an opening on the Board of Health.
Okay, none of these really are optional that I see. The Urban Planning Commission, the Rural Planning Commission. Parks would be one, but the title says efficacy. I've been the liaison to the Parks Advisory Board for going on 6-7 years now, and I'm not really sure. There's a Parks Foundation, too. They've been really helpful when we've been doing the White Horse Park pre-design and some of those things, but I don't know. I think they've actually got it worked out because they're meeting, much like the Mining Advisory Committee, every other month. So that seems to work out. I didn't know if there was anything going on in your guys' world that...
With the change in the library, does that change?
We won't have a Nexus anymore.
That's what I mean. We won't.
It would be like the school district.
So if the library district wanted to have a library committee, that it doesn't...
They are going to have a board, and then they're going to work on whittling down all those other...
Kate's got like five. Does that go away as the county function?
Probably.
Library just steps
mm-hmm.
out?
Mm-hmm.
Good time for that.
The other question that came up was staffing it. So currently a lot of these are staffed by our office. And is that appropriate, or should some of them are staffed by our office? The Budget Committee will be staffed by our office. The 4-H Extension is staffed by 4-H. The Cannabis Advisory Committee will be staffed by us. The Compensation Committee is staffed by HR. The EMS, that's health. Fair. But it's the advertising and making sure that they're fully populated for each of those. Some of them I can see that they need to be by us, but some of them, like airports, maybe Larry's office handles. No.
They already do.
Not for advertising, probably for replacements and recruiting.
No, but that's normal that we do the posting for the...
I know, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, I think it should stay with us.
Okay.
All committee applications go through us. We have the committee application at our front window. That's a consistent thing, and then the departments handle the minutes and the agendas and let us know when the vacancies are there. I think that's consistent.
You okay with that, Commissioner DeYoung?
I'll just use the Fair Board for an example. We got the list and who would we like and pick and choose. I just turned right around and asked the Fair Board, who would you like to work with out of this list? You know, okay. I think they know the people more than I do. That's for
sometimes
certain.
That works
I would
really
hate to call
well.
Out somebody that not that call out. I would hate to not endorse somebody for the Fair Board that they think would be a real asset, because nobody knows probably better what the Fair Board needs than the Fair Board itself.
So, sometimes, you know, as long as it's a reflection of what the board wants, because there has been times, I think maybe when I first got to office, there was a little bit of a disconnect between the Fair Board and the current Board of Commissioners. Right now it works, you know, hand in glove, I'm sure.
But I mean, is it okay, like, for instance, when they said over, I think they had 6 applicants for one position. And I read through them. I didn't see anything that really popped up, but then I kind of kicked it back to them and said, you know...
That's totally...
Please tell me who you would like to work with out of this batch.
That's fine.
And go from there, as long as I didn't see anybody that jumped out at me.
Parks does that, too. They made their recommendation.
Okay, I was just kind of asking if that was okay to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did.
Well, that one was a little different that we, you know, the board just said, Commissioner DeYoung, you as liaison, figure out who you think is the best person to work with on that. So, but like a Rural Planning Commission, we're not going to delegate that to the liaison.
No,
that's a full board's decision. So I wouldn't want that responsibility. Well, I just thought it was a good thing to review this, you know, so you guys maybe even have a first-time comprehensive look at how many committees we do have. And
so this one here, the BOPTA, is crossed off.
That's BOPTA, and that's handled by the clerk's office or the assessor's office.
Okay, what is it?
It's the Board of Property Tax Appeals.
Okay. So the entire committee is up for reappointment this June?
Quite possibly.
As in?
It looks as though they only are appointed for a year.
So that went away?
No. It's an annual deal. There were, I get my years confused, but I've seen years where there were 80 property tax appeals. So people can say, wait a second, you are taxing me at X. I have evidence to suggest that you should be taxing me at Y. And they come in and they go before this board and they've got a real specific, I mean, it's a couple a day, or at least a day, maybe two, kind of an event where you get a tutorial for a half a day or a day, and then the next day you have, you know, hearing after hearing, quick little 15-minute deals where you go before this three or four people, this panel, and they make a decision whether or not, yep, you're absolutely right, you shouldn't have been taxed at that, or no, sorry, that's defensible based on the formula that, you know, it's prescribed by Measure 50 and 5 and such. So it's interesting. Kind of challenging to get your head around is exactly how property taxes are calculated.
So the clerk's office oversaw the appeals of the assessor's office. That's why Trish was the staff member?
Yeah.
Okay. And it looks like the entire committee's already expired. So is that something we need to let Rhianna know?
Mm-hmm.
I will follow up with her.
Well, we might advertise for that. We probably do it, you know, I think, I can't remember. I just did it. We just did it this spring.
2016,
right?
It says.
It feels like we just did it this last spring. And I'm almost positive I did. I've got the binder in there. I spent a good day and a half in the room. So we probably don't need to do it until next spring. We'll figure out the schedule on that. I don't think we want to have
only 1 year term.
Mm-hmm.
You get your taxes every year, so every year you're going to have to
re-advertise, and it's a tough one to staff. It might be the toughest one to populate as far as people.
How many cases come before?
Well, like I said, there was 1 year, I remember. I don't know if it was last year, but there's anywhere between 50 and 80, you know. Well, there's 49,000 tax bills, so that's not too bad. Most of them, Connie gets worked out, you know, ahead of time. If people are concerned about their ag or forest exemption and stuff like that, she can work those out ahead of time. There's very few people who say, no, you're way off. We need to talk about this. And
I see the value.
I don't think it's
from the public standpoint of having, you know, coming in here and talking to a government official versus coming in and talking to, you know, non-office holding residents. You know, two of them and non-office holding, three of them are non-office holding residents.
So BOPTA is not an option. So. The Board of Property Tax Appeals is a state statutorily provided for appeals process on your taxes. We don't have an option of that one. But like an animal shelter, a bikeways committee, those are optional.
Animal shelter was part of the levy promise.
Probably.
Don't think we should get rid of that one.
No. I'm just saying that one's not an optional. Then I was wrong. Fair is an optional. Elected official compensation committee is not optional. Forestry is optional. I don't know if our airports would be, but I don't think we're looking to try to get rid of those. Health's probably not
the
optional.
Compensation group doesn't have
that's populated by HR. That's an HR deal. We don't have anything to do with it.
Mm. So it's like term one.
Yeah, that's JJ. I think statutorily, an HR department facilitates that for elected officials.
Is your health department committee going to change any of what you see there?
Not at the moment. It's statutorily required as well, so we can relook at the statute and see what the requirements are, but for now it's statutorily required. So we'll have to see.
That might be a good question when we're up at Douglas County next week with what they've done. You know, they were, like mental health and public health, they actually gave up the public health responsibilities entirely, and I'm not suggesting that we go there, but what are the bookends? They would probably know.
So we still maintain a mental health advisory board, and that's
right.
Statutorily still required as the mental health...
You know, that's what I've been led to understand, but there is a county who did give up their mental health authority.
I'm just saying we have not given up our mental health authority,
we
so
haven't.
Therefore we're still required
yes.
to have the mental health advisory board.
Yes.
And they're meant to be our citizens watch group of what mental health is doing, and they're advising us on whether we continue the contract or not, or that kind of thing. So
there's a substantial thing we do annually, which is assigning to mental health specialists the ability to take in and hold someone. Are you more familiar with that, Commissioner Morgan?
Mm-mm.
There's a whole list that we sign off on every year of specialists in the community through Options of Southern Oregon who can put someone, help find resources for people.
I don't know if now's the time to ask a question, but I had a call yesterday from a gentleman that was upset that we, as a Board of County Commissioners, didn't close down District 7 schools during the smoke event.
We don't. They elect to do that on their own.
And I said, I think that's a school.
They have their own
elected
body.
And he said, no, it's you guys. And I said, no, I don't think so.
No.
But I told him I'd look into it. But one of the things that he... So do I go to Sherry Ely, or who would I go to with a concern about, with his concern?
Send it to me as the public health liaison.
Okay.
But public health issued a thing as far as we issued a press release about people being safe, try to stay out of the smoke, stay inside, leave the area, mitigate if you're out in the smoke, get inside for recovery time. So that press release went out to the whole public.
Right.
But the school districts are an elected board that oversees the schools. We have no authority over the schools.
Okay, good, that's what I want to know. But he told me that Highland School, when he delivered his kids up there, he could see smoke in the hallways, and they did nothing.
That's
hallways. And I said, well, I think that you need to take that up with the school board.
I think it was the same thing at South Middle School in the gym.
Our health department was full of smoke. And here's what we found out.
I can tell you
a lot
why.
Of the air conditioners, when they got a little cooler, they thought it was cooler outside, so they opened the vents to let more outside air in to cool the buildings. And so they brought in all the smoke. They turned off that function manually, and it cleared it all out. But at least that's what happened in public health.
Hmm.
I'll tell you the real story one of these days.
I'd love to hear it. That's what
because it's an
facilities
EPA,
said that they did.
It's a BPA requirement that you have a certain amount of fresh air, and schools are the far worst because it's like 5 cubic feet of air per minute per person in the building. And schools are just saturated with little kids, so every one of them gets 5 CFM, and that's a whole bunch of air, fresh air coming in, and they can override that, but you're not going to do it in an afternoon. So that's exactly what happened. It was this gentleman called me. He said he bought an air scrubber and he took it up to Highland School, and they scrubbed the whole school with this air scrubber thing. And I said, you know, gee, how many CFM did it put out? And he said, 500. And I went, that's nothing in the ventilation world. But I didn't get an argument with anybody. I said, okay, that sounds good. Thank you for participating. But I will call him back and tell him that it's entirely up to the school district is where his complaint falls and that we don't have authority.
Anything else on these?
I had suggested that we kind of put together a master list of the groups that would say kind of like what, based on each group, so like a single page for each committee and basic premise of what they were authorized to do,
mm-hmm.
length of terms and all that kind of stuff, who's serving on it, contact information, who the liaison is, how often they meet, kind of just a summary
sure.
of each of them.
Sounds like a great thing I can't believe we don't have.
No, both when Dan and I took office, that was a question we had, saying okay, we've just signed up to be liaisons. What's the commitment of these liaisons? Public health has three committees. Okay, nobody knew that. And so, well, how often do they meet? We don't know. And I think that's something that we at the very least should know, how often our meetings are.
Great. I'm looking at the two-week calendar for the board.
We're done with advisory?
I think so, if you guys are.
Okay.
So, Commissioner Morgan, who's working on that? When do you expect it done?
On what?
The list, the
single page. I had asked Ricky. I have no idea.
Okay.
Sorry, you moved on to calendar, and I was already on to another topic.
Well, I just came back and revisited the topic. So just making sure we're covered on. If we're going to do something like that, which I think we should, I think the challenge is that if we throw it out there and then it doesn't have let's finish that by. I mean, you guys are already in the queue, your liaisons to your thing. You probably have it figured out. But I think, for a long term, just a reflection on what we're coming out of this meeting, to have that one pager seems like a no brainer to me. Just wondering.
Tonight, do you want me to come out to the cannabis meet?
We're all supposed to be there tonight.
Okay.
That's what we said, is that we're all going to...
I'm just following up. Just asking the question.
This isn't my request. This was Commissioner Hare had asked that we all be there, that we each express our intent for the group.
Okay.
I will follow up with IT today about the microphones, make sure they're ready to go for the setup for that.
Yeah,
because we asked that over a week ago, that they have that prepared. So we'll follow up with that piece.
Well, what is our message going to be tonight?
I mean, the agenda was sent out that we're going to go over bylaws, which we need to go over. We don't have. Essentially, it was going to be introductions by each of them, each of us saying what we envisioned for the group kind of thing, and then having that discussion to go over bylaws, and that was the gist of the agenda for tonight.
Yeah, an introduction, talking about agenda build in the future. Like, what are they going to be working on? Probably a precursor introduction of who Rob Belvet is to those who don't know him, and, getting that kind of queued up. I think there's going to be probably a fair amount of questions from the committee, and the introductions of people could take, I mean, Peter Gendron alone could take 3 to 5 minutes, so, with nine people. So what is it that we would say, I mean, if we had a consistent message establishing it now, what is it for the committee?
What are we looking for out of it?
Well, I think that's part of what the bylaws are supposed to do.
I think we outlined the scope in the advertisement in the creation of the committee. So that's not what I'm looking for bylaws. Bylaws facilitates the administration of the committee. It doesn't set necessarily, in my opinion, the scope. The charter did that when we did order number 2017-034, I think it was. 033 was the first one. 034 was the second one that gave an alternate. Do you mind sharing what you're planning on saying? You're the liaison, so,
Am I officially the liaison? That it gets questioned back and forth as it's been officially established. From my standpoint, I our order, it said anything cannabis related, hemp, cannabis, or from the medical or the recreational. So for me, what I would see the scope would being is if anything comes to us as a county legislative-wise, that we would be getting feedback from them on the impacts on the industry, what steps the industry may be taking to mitigate some of those already, just kind of making sure that those topics get before the committee and having a discussion that is advising us as the legislative body on recommendations on from a different standpoint than just planning necessarily. We've been told, or I've said, that it's not a marijuana issue that we're trying to legislate, it's a bad neighbors issue that we're trying to legislate. So how does that legislation affect, and this group may be able to give feedback. The other scope of the monies that come from the state, and both our local tax dollars, has stated that there would be a prevention component, a public safety component, and so asking those questions, what is the impact on our community? How are we dealing with that? There are other committees that handle the planning. There are the committees that handle the prevention, but I still would like to see it from the perspective of the industry. And I think that's what this committee offers, is showing from an industry standpoint of what that perspective can be and it should be. So for me, I guess the top priorities would be legislation and whether recommendations on us taking a position with the state, trying to advocate for something, local legislation that we're having an impact on, economic development and how they're a part of being in that process. What does that mean as far as economic development? And to me, the most important piece is, how are we keeping it away from our kids? Kids are dropping out of school to go work on grow sites, but that's illegal. They're not supposed to be on the side of a grow before they're 18. So how do we have the prevention component of saying, okay, this is a valid industry, but you don't get to work in it until you're 18 or 21 or whatever the age limit is by the state.
You can't be a bartender until you're 21.
Exactly.
So there's legislation that says kids are not to be in an active grow site before they're 18.
They're not allowed to work on them. I might need to verify that, but I have been told that.
I think it's really important that we not say stuff. I'm just suggesting, because I see these all being at people's homes.
Yeah.
And so, really?
There's a difference between having it on your home and working it.
Right.
And so there's also employment law that goes into play.
Yeah, I just thought I heard not supposed to be at one.
Didn't mean to misspeak, if that's what I'm saying. It's the fact of you're not supposed to be
know.
Employed.
I don't know what the rules are. It's just really...
I will verify. But essentially, it is an issue that there's a conflict there as far as, you know, but what is their opportunities for the schools to engage in? Maybe agricultural training or engineering training that would help the economic side of something, but say you get education, then you come back and you give back to the industry versus you're dropping out of school and you don't have the money to survive and you don't have the skills to survive because you haven't figured out how to get through things. You know, I don't know, just kind of holistic picture.
Well, I don't want to get too much into the nuts and bolts. I'm interested in how they perceive the transition into the new state law. You know, how that's going to bode for them as an industry, and what are their answers for the complaints that we get, that, you know, some of them just say that none of that happens, and we all know it does. So, you know, how are you going to take ownership of your industry? Everybody else has to. The timber industry certainly had to. Everybody has to. And I'm looking for them. I'm really not sure exactly what I'm looking for out of the Cannabis Advisory Board, but I hope they can come to the. I hope they come into the room and basically leave their politics at the door, you know, and come in, hoping to be an advisory committee to this board.
So I think that's the key component of the charter for me,
right.
Is that they are, you know, supposed to be a broad reflection of the community. You've got at least three that I can say definitively are not involved with the cannabis industry from a production side of things. Mine is the cultural element. It's the stuff that Lipsick doesn't, Lipsick. And then there's the, what is the committee called that deals with addictions?
LADPC.
LADPC. So there's Lipsick, there's LADPC, there's the Rural Planning Commission. Those are things, and then there's the Economic Advisory Committee. I'm looking at the one where that doesn't fall into any of that basket. It's the cultural element.
Neighbor versus
changing.
Neighbor. What are you doing to the neighborhood? What are you doing to the county? What are you doing to the community?
I think it's on our agenda to have them review the proposed RR. Is that right, Commissioner Morgan?
It's not tonight.
No.
Tonight's agenda is election of a chair, vice chair, secretary, adoption of bylaws. The BCC will go over scope and role of advisory committee. We'll talk about future meeting times, location, and then next meeting agenda build, which is going to be pretty straightforward. The next agenda is going to be Rob Buffett's presentation. So
that should be a standard element, though, is a next meeting and agenda build. But the time, location, that needs to be evaluated. Depending on how many people come tonight, you know, where that next meeting needs to be. But Rob Bovetz probably should be over here because we could probably televise it. You know, if he's doing a PowerPoint presentation, I think that'd be really positive. There's really nowhere else that I think that we can record everything and get it, you know.
Maybe we should mention tonight, put on the next website. One when Rob Bovetz here, that it'll be at Ambassador and seating is limited, but we're doing it there so we can televise it. So if you wish to stay at home, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think it needs to be there. So that's what my scope is that it addressed really the things that isn't the purview of every other committee.
So I probably will pass out the rural residential
draft
proposal.
Yeah.
Because the hearing is on the 20th and the next one's December or October 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And I have also provided Rob Ovette with that proposal. So it may be something that if we pass it out tonight, then the questions and discussion could be brought back on the 26th.
Great.
It'll be after the first hearing, but before the second one, that they can give us feedback as we're going into the second reading, and that would be appropriate in the timeline. So that'll be, we'll make sure to have an apportion after Rob speaks to have some questions pertaining specifically to the RR.
Okay. If the proposed changes, if we have changes between first and second readings that are substantial in nature, that change the scope, this is the wording exactly, in letter of intent of the first draft, we have to start over with a first and second reading again. So that's totally fine with me. I want to get it right. So
get right. Yeah.
If it changes, that's great.
If we have to push off the first one, but I know they're trying to get to...
It's fine. I think I approved the scheduling it the way it is, knowing full well that you're going to have your meeting in between those two, and if there is a recommendation from the advisory committee, it doesn't mean we can't change it. But I'd hate to miss it if there isn't anything. You know, we did have a first and second reading with the... they had a first hearing with the Rural Planning Commission, and so that was... It's not as though there wasn't an opportunity to weigh in on it. Well, anything else on this topic?
Not for the time frame. I did pass out, just logistically, I emailed everybody the meeting law memo from legal.
Good.
And I need to have those printed for tonight to have them signed to make sure we get one from everybody as far as that goes. So... I think one question I have is we got an email from Councillor Hicks today about somebody on an advisory committee asking a question. They're responding to that question. I just guess I'm concerned about how much time is legal spending on questions from advisory boards that we don't know about the questions beforehand.
Right.
But anyhow, that would be that question. But so for tonight, I'll make sure that we have the draft of the rural residential. I'll have the question for the opening.
The bylaws?
The bylaws, I have a generic. We don't have them selected. There's a generic form that I will, that talks about roles and responsibilities, and it's kind of blank right now. So that's what needs to be developed. Otherwise, everything else is there.
Well, I think you can probably grab what was in the order and then put it should
put
be
it
should be consistent.
Roles.
So.
All right, I'll get that ironed out this afternoon and have something that we can start as a draft and go from there.
That's fine. They don't actually have to approve the bylaws if they don't get to it, if we don't get to it. I mean, just doing it when they do it. I think your idea of open public meeting law is really a key component, especially for this group. And so just I think one of the most fundamental things that you can do is always – have a blind carbon copy to the entire group so that if anybody responds, it should never be, and I tried to do this with the economic development one, and the staff doesn't understand it, that when you start the listserv, don't populate it in everybody two, you know, populate it in everybody BCC. That way nobody can respond to everybody else and start a chain that's deliberation towards a decision or gathering information, and which is violation of the open public meeting law. So that's a simple thing to do in my my recommendation is how it should go. Anything else under other?
I hadn't really looked at the calendar yet. I'm going to look at that real quick. So officially, did I take over as liaison as workforce?
I don't know. Yeah.
Road Workforce Partnership.
Okay. I thought we were going to...
Whoa. That's fantastic.
Not workforce. Which is the one? It was it Regional Solution? Okay, yeah, Regional Solution. Okay, because I got forwarded an email by Ricky about workforce asking about the survey response, and I didn't think that one was mine, but I was trying to... Okay, so I'm ignoring that, so you can do the survey, Commissioner Gian.
On the World Workforce, I did talk to Commissioner Dyer over in Medford, and I got forced into being chairman of that committee, and it is a huge drain on time because they do stuff every week. They have another deal, and Commissioner Dyer said he would take that over because he's down right down the street. He said, you and I are stuck with it, and he says, I'll take it in perpetuity as chairman so that all the stuff gets signed on time, because I come in and they go, well, you're supposed to sign this, and you know, it's a real can of worms.
Okay, sounds good.
So Rick said he would take that over, and I thanked him. Thank you very much. I'm really struggling with what they do.
Yeah.
I their purpose, I just evades me. But I guess maybe statutorily it's required.
It might be worth finding out, because I think you're not the only one that wondered what do they do and what's their purpose and where's the money going towards.
And I don't mind being a liaison to something, but I don't like being thrown into being the chairman of the board so that you have to be there. I mean, that's almost a full-time job.
You don't have to be chairman. And Dwyer just took over for you?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Dyer.
Yeah, he did.
Dyer?
He did. Dyer.
Okay.
Yeah, I called him yesterday and I said, I'm struggling with this. He goes, I understand completely. He's all taken for perpetuity because I'm right down the street.
So Regional Solutions, shifting gears, do whatever you have to do, Commissioner Young.
Yeah.
I'm total support of that. Is a really important topic. So out of the last two biennium, 4 years, our region's been appropriated $2 million per biennium. It's $4 million. We were appropriated at the last go-around $425, of which we probably only appreciated $382, if I remember correctly, $1,000 out of $4 million coming to this region. That's not necessarily Regional Solutions' fault. It's Josephine County's fault for not proposing projects that meet, you know, we only proposed one project and we got funded. So
we won't get it if we don't ask.
We have to ask, and we have to suggest that this is our round.
I put together,
like Steve Rowe, I would go to Colleen, I would get with a couple of people. Padilla or Martin, either one of those, Colleen, both of the Colleens. Airports seem like a good one, but it's also, it was a little bit of a challenge. It got statewide recognition that Regional Solutions was appropriating money to it, what should have been an FAA-funded project. Betsy Johnson called me up and said, what is going on down there? That is not the intent of Regional Solutions. We talked about it. I said, just breathe, Betsy. This is what our plan is. And lo and behold, it came to fruition that if we paid for this, it opens up the whole East Side Taxiway, puts it on the radar of FAA on a regional level. But I think that they may be opening up that FAA stuff more to Regional Solutions projects, because it isn't part of what's that transportation funding cycle that comes around for the little projects?
The little enhance?
No, it's Larry applied for quite a few of those. You know what I'm talking
about.
They don't get to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. The aviation is out of that.
I remember.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So
I don't remember what it's called, but
maybe,
I remember seeing the emails.
Maybe Regional Solutions can have more of a nexus of aviation, because that's a real challenge.
I think the thing that keeps coming up over and over and over and over and over and over again for Regional Solutions out in that North Valley area is the sewage treatment plant. Is that a regional solution?
It totally
I mean,
should
does that
be. Yes.
Fall under
absolutely.
Into that arena. That's the one. That's gonna be a big project.
Yeah, $3-4 million.
And just say, you know what, if this is gonna be our turn, maybe that's what we want to do.
Well, I think we asked for the full $2 million, and so you work with Larry and Arthur's supposed.
Never mind. Go ahead.
Arthur's supposed to have the RFP for the project manager for the North Valley Sewer System ready to go out this week for our review. Then ready to go out. So if we can get that dovetailed really well with,
if we get the freshwater side of it out there and then the sewer side, we're in.
Yeah,
that's gonna make a huge, huge big, difference.
Big difference.
In the
well, and I can tell you something to be considering. Part of what I did yesterday was there's Air Science Org is a nonprofit up in the Portland area that partners with schools and airports to get kids involved with science and technology.
In the aviation
stuff.
Side?
Yes, they build a plane every 2 years. And it gets certified, they sell it, and they buy the next kit, and they build it from scratch. It's not a pre-build one. I mean, they literally do every rivet and and all this kind of stuff. So yesterday I toured the company that provides the planes, and the airport at Aurora, where in the 60s was just a dead piece of land with no airplanes there. It is now the third largest airport in Oregon with 1,500 family wage jobs provided with 485. Yeah, and that was the question.
Yeah,
it's like, why am I going to Aurora? You know,
Right out of Canby. To get to Canby, you go right by that airport.
Yes, you do.
It is. It's huge, yeah.
And
right.
One of the things that they've done is they have done a fence line property ownerships where private industry has invested heavily into that airport by the airport actually selling the properties as they want to build a hangar or they want to do something, they sell it to the business. And now that business has the requirement to have the upgrades and everything up to a standard in that process. And what without the regulations of why should I invest if the county owns the property? And so by the county selling the property with the airport-related business in exchange, it has grown out to be this huge thing. And you should have seen some of the planes we were touring yesterday and some of the stuff going on. But
what's
the economic
ironic,
growth.
I-5 was shut down for an accident. So when I left Oregon City, I went right by that airport and I thought, what is going on over there?
Yeah,
it was
always
huge.
Yeah.
Those jets out there, there were all these really nice.
You have to go right by Canby. And you know, if you're sitting in Canby, you watch the plane taking off and you go, they're major.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was ironic that as I-5 was shut down, we had to do a 99, and I went right by Oregon City where you were trying to get out of traffic, but I caught a plane and got back.
Oh, yeah.
And so I made it to one of my.
It's been 4.5 hours. There's no AC in my car, so I was in slacks and dress shirt sweating like a racehorse.
Well,
it was real fun.
It is one of those things, though, that it got to the point of do we maintain the property or do we have a fence line agreement that we have the airport but the development
through the
outside.
Fence.
Through the fence agreement. Thank you.
I was like a fence line agreement.
It was new to me. Through the
it's
fence.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah,
but
I know that Larry's been
hesitant
about through the fence agreements and there's ways to incentivize people. You know, you have the duration of a 20, 30, 40-year lease agreement that's just as good as owning it. And
well, Hillsboro has that 20, 30, 40 lease agreement, and all of them are coming to fruition. And
oh, yeah.
Everyone's leaving and going to Aurora.
Yeah. Well, that's because the county's probably getting too greedy about, you know, let's
very
just keep
true.
It.
They've
keep
priced
it.
Them out of being able to renew those
exactly.
leases. And so where Hillsboro's the number two airport to Portland, it's Portland-Hillsboro. Number three is Aurora.
Yeah.
And the growth at Aurora has been through the fence
right.
property thing. So just something to consider. It was an interesting process. Their minimum requirement of size for a hangar is bigger than our maximum hangar at our airport, I think, something like that. But
it was amazing that one of the doors was open and you could just count. There were like six planes in that thing. It was massive. And jets and stuff. So,
well
that's really encouraging. I'm glad you were able to go up for that.
The people that were on board, there was somebody from Southern Oregon Educational Service District, where I didn't even know we had an Educational Service District till the last election.
Right.
And they, Measure 98 passed, and that was a science camp kind of funding through the state. They're trying to see if through the tri-county area of Klamath, Jackson, and Josephine, if potentially using some of those dollars to fund an aeroscience program down here with our school districts. And again, going after disadvantaged kids who maybe otherwise wouldn't have the outcome to just get interested in something, math and science in junior high, to keep them engaged through high school, showing all the job opportunities that come with it. and it's not necessarily going to lead to a career in aviation, but opening the door towards teamwork, reading plans, thinking in math terms. I mean, everything in the air is constant recalculation, so it's all math-based. And what we're finding right now is by the time kids are getting to high school, they've already disengaged. There's so much remedial training needed for math that they're not getting into these industries. And if we can get them trained in high school, it's a lot cheaper for them to get trained in the aviation network.
Does our low graduation rate have an effect on that? We have a fairly low graduation
rate.
It's
something they're trying to address.
Right. I think the low graduation rate has to do with, I think, our trimming industry around here. This kid said, why, I make $25 an hour. I don't need to go to school anymore. You know, but that's where he's leveling his career off. But lack of interest. There is, you know, they used to have auto shop, FFA, mm-hmm. welding, wood shop. They had all of these things that kids could do in the school system, and yeah. just slowly but surely.
Ironic, I noticed the greenhouse was gone at the IV High School when we had that fire.
Hidden Valley's got a huge, they've got a...
Hidden Valley's the last one with the Future Farmers of America. Yeah. So here's the thing, Rogue River, wrong terminology, Rogue Community College.
Yeah, it's just FFA. 1987, it graduated from Future Farmers to just FFA, like AT&T doesn't stand for it. Anyway.
Didn't I say FFA?
You said Future Farmers.
Of America.
It is.
It's not?
No, but it's a small deal. Not a big deal. So
I thought it was Future Farmers. Is
it used to be.
Leaders?
It used to be for about 40, 50 years it was Future Farmers.
Only 40 or 50 years, and then it got changed.
Okay, yeah.
Well, it's broader than just farming, right? They do aquaculture. They do a lot of stuff. So
anyhow, I was told that Hidden Valley is the only one that has grown up.
They are.
On the trip, though, Rogue Community College Dean of Science and Technology was there. The Southern Oregon Service Education Service District was there, who represents K-12, and our airport. And then, so the idea is that we get a partnership going with Three Rivers School District, Grants Pass School District. If RCC will be on board, otherwise we'll partner with Klamath Community College, who already has a program going for aviation. So the idea is that we get something going for science technology. I did speak to the new... Grants Pass School District's career paths person, and they are trying desperately to try to get trades worked into the schools. And what she's doing job shadowing and apprenticeships and all this. They have a requirement that you have to be 18 with a GED or a diploma before you can do their apprenticeship. So with that requirement in the programs, how are we ever going to get this worked into our high schools to get the trades going and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So that's something that the Education Service District is going to try to be working on, and Boley is actually coming back and saying, you know, we're losing too many people. Maybe we should loosen up some of our regulations to allow. So anyhow, those
That's
were some of the conversations
exciting.
Yesterday. And
I was wrong. It was 88, not 87. Sorry. That's exciting. That's really great. You know, Kelly Minty Morris is
fun. Because they keep limiting everything in schools other than education. I've said this numerous times. It's the only, if you're a teacher, the only subject you think that is worthy of your students' attention is yours. I've got a young niece that she came home last night crying her eyes out. Going to Grants Pass High School. The band is 24 hours of practice a week in a 5-day period. 24 hours. She says, I'm taking advanced chemistry. I'm taking all these scholastic courses. When do I get to do my homework? So her and there was other kids, you know, and then my niece said, you know, what you really need to do is find out if there's anybody else in the same predicament. So there was a half a dozen kids, and they go, we have to make choices. They went to their counselor and said, we have a choice here. We either can't be in band or we can't further our education on something else. You name it. You know, there's just not enough hours in the day for us to do all of these things. So what they did is they said, okay, we're going to hold off on the advanced classes because we'll be able to catch up on that until after October. I think it's October 9th is when band is done practicing.
There's a parade? They're
going to Macy's.
Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, they've got a lot of work to do.
Kind of like all hands on deck. They've got to get there.
But the problem is you can't tell a kid, you're only band. This is it, you know, because they're looking for, you know, like my niece, Charlie, she's looking to the future. She's been back to Washington, D.C. and toured the Capitol because she's smart.
Wow, that's cool. She doesn't take after her...
Doesn't take after her uncle.
Uncle.
At all.
Do you know that Kelly Menti Morris is on the board for Klamath Community College?
Okay.
She might be the chair this year. She just went through the process of hiring a new director or superintendent. She'd be a great reference as far as higher education in that connection.
I will follow.
She knows quite a few people in that arena.
I like your airplane project, though, to build an airplane.
That's cool. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Well,
and I can imagine the look on their faces when it flies.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things that you connect with the school, you get people looking at the school, potentially see it as an opportunity to go there for training for something else. If we could, everybody's tightening their belts. They're like, why would I expand any programs? It's like, because we're investing in the kids in our community to have a workforce in the in the future, and so it's worth it. A couple other things I should point out to you guys. Thursday calendar, the big red one on my calendar, was a criminal court trial that I was subpoenaed for.
What is that, Wednesday?
Thursday. It got canceled, so I won't be there. I'll be able to handle other stuff. I got invited to a reception at the governor's house next Monday at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to go to that. I debated the value of going, but I really believe that we have to have Josephine County at the table, and so... we'll already be at the ONC day in Roseburg, so as soon as we're done at 2-3
sure.
o'clock, I'm just going to drive up to Salem, attend the reception, and then drive home that night.
AOC.
AOC, if I said
Excellent.
It wrong. Sorry.
Oh, that's great.
And then Sunday, the cooperators meeting, Senator Wyden and the U.S. Forest Chief Tony Tuke came through at the cooperators meeting and met with them. I basically just pushed the subject about why we have different firefighting policies between our federal agencies, where BLM has partnered with ODF, and ODF has a quick, sure process of putting fires out, and they put everything on them, and they get those fires out, and yet U.S. Forest Service is having a different outcome that has caused catastrophic response statewide. And that we would like to see more coordination locally, that we have a better response on our forest lands. I said, you've already said that we can't do logging, but we should do tourism. And it's the third leading industry in the state, yet how is there any tourism when the entire state's on fire? Not to mention, five people have not been able to be airlifted out of the Illinois Valley that had medical conditions, but due to the smoke, the helicopter couldn't fly in to get them. And so instead, people were on ground transports for way longer than they should have been, causing potential harm to life. And our hospital is full of people with respiratory problems, and my grandpa included. He's hospitalized again because of the smoke and stuff like that. So it's kind of those things. It's like, can we have the discussion of a different policy? And Wyden was upset. He said, I message received, but you don't want to waste your senator's time on micromanaging fire policy. I'm just going to get you more resources. And he stood up and he left.
Because the prescription for how you handle everything in a wilderness has already been designed. It's already out there. And so that conversation happens when they expand a Cascade National Monument and the Oregon Caves National Monument. Those prescriptions about what you do are already on the books.
So the U.S. Forest Service chief said that he was willing to have conversations when the fire was up and at least discuss that maybe this isn't working. And that's what I suggested. The current policy U.S. Forest Service is following is not working. And so anyhow, it was interesting. Then we had a county or a community meeting in the evening as well. And some of the very questions that we asked in the morning, the community asked us in the evening. So
right.
It was timely. So... anyhow, just thought I'd give an update on that one.
Well, thanks for attending that.
Yeah, Senator Beartrager called me after that meeting, and
I was glad he was there.
Yeah, he was glad you were there. Yeah, he said Commissioner Morgan asked some really tough, pointed questions and wouldn't let up, and that's exactly what we needed at that table, I think.
Well, and the Chief Tuke's response was, he came up to me afterward and said, you're asking the right questions. And so he was a lot more patient and willing to be there. And he stayed 20-30 minutes after the senator mm-hmm. left. So he was willing to stay and face it. His local district chief four guy, not so much. And that's who Senator Bearsugar kind of challenged on the answers he was giving me that were interesting. But Senator Bearsugar was there, and Commissioner Roberts from Jackson County, and Representative Brock Smith all came to the Cave Junction meeting.
Cool. Anything else?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else in the... I have a family wedding on Saturday and have lots of family coming in on Thursday, so I'm only going to be here half day on Friday.
I have a meeting at 11 with the superintendent, Three Rivers, on the construction excise tax. So
okay.
You guys are all dialed in on that? Okay. Because there could be pushback. Representing the board. I'm not the liaison. I'm the chair in this respect, saying that we're not intending on renewing your IGA. That's the message that I think I'm carrying. So I think, if I remember correctly, the number isn't chump change to what we collected maybe last year. I could be wrong, but it was 346, if I remember. So it just feels like it's outside of our wheelhouse. We don't collect something like this that I'm aware of for anything else. I can't think of anything that has even a similar color to what we're doing. So
I guess I'm wondering is why legislatively they have the planning department collecting a fee on behalf of
another district.
It's just
the nexus of, you know, it's based on a square footage. Who is going to know the square footage? But the building and safety department, who signs off on your permit for construction? And so it was, I think, initiated and instituted in an era, my predecessor's era. He's a former school board member. And, you know, rightfully so. What I find ironic in the history of things is the fact that, you know, prior to the policy that my predecessor brought to this county and to this board, the Board of Commissioners used to give each of the school districts $1 million because we couldn't actually spend everything we got from shared timber receipts. So they'd still have that, but for that perspective that I don't fault him specifically, but everybody who said, no, can't cut trees anymore, that's not working out, we want to do something different. Okay, well, there's $2 million to the school districts that you don't get anymore. And there's not providing the same services that we used to at the Cave Junction building. And we don't have money to maintain the library district anymore. All of that was paid for, not with general fund tax dollars, but with shared receipts. So that's going to be my message. I wonder, you know, I hope Mr. Valenzuela can understand this, but what I hear coming out of schools and stuff and this tour that I took yesterday is it's just a protectionism kind of idea, and I don't really see how that's working out any better than what we were doing when we were managing forests on a sustained basis. And that's not being taught, in my opinion, in schools the way it needs to be. Not that there's a direct correlation to why we're doing that, but if they want to collect a fee, then they need to do that. Okay.
I would make a recommendation that on our admin meeting for Thursday the 21st that we move it to Wednesday afternoon on the 20th.
Okay.
Dan and I are both gone Thursday morning. There won't be a quorum.
It'd be really hard to do it on my own.
It would be. You could, effectively, efficiently. You'd have no pushback from any honorary commissioners.
I don't know that I do. Do I? On a regular basis?
No.
It's not just my agenda.
Just
you guys
for
have
the
them
fun
too.
Of it. I should give you guys a heads
up.
You
push back just for the fun of it?
No, I'm just teasing
I appreciate
you.
That.
I am just saying, no, absolutely not.
You're fun.
I, you know, we're all pretty lucky to get to work with each other,
yeah.
I just think.
I feel the same way.
So tomorrow is my big meeting with public health. And so I have 25 attendees.
Good luck.
Thank you. And so I'm meeting with Oregon Health Authority ahead of time. Actually, in the morning, we have our meeting with the sheriff about the animal control officers. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that one goes better than the last one. And then meeting with Oregon Health Authority at noon and then going to the meeting at 2:30. And then I will scramble out to Illinois Valley for evening weekly business session meeting.
I think your scope on the public health is right on. What I've read, What you've sent out is spot on. So you're, I think you're going to, you'd carry the charge of the board, from my perspective, really well. And I think you're going to be successful.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to the meeting. I think we have the right people in the room and hoping to have a candid conversation about where to go. So just as far as an update of where we are with that tomorrow, as soon as we're out of here, I'm going to be contacting Cheryl just to touch base. She was out last week, and a lot has happened with her department while she was gone that she is coming back to learn about. So just kind of where I'm at with that, just wanted to give you guys a heads up. So.
Do our computers work out at Cave Junction?
My computer works wherever I take it, based on the way I do it.
Yeah, so what Commissioner DeYoung does is goes into the folder.
Commissioner Hare.
I'm sorry, Commissioner DeYoung. What Commissioner Hare does is goes into the folder and gets the weekly business packet, and he saves it to his desktop. By doing that, you don't have to have internet or network access. Okay. So if you guys can save it to his desktop, then you will guarantee you can access the packet.
I don't think I've had a problem in 6.5 years of doing it since we instituted paperless in the board's office. It just works, you know, because otherwise if the internet goes down or whatever, you're without it. But your computer usually, if your computer turns on, you're good to go.
Do I do that normally? I already do that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just didn't know. I've never heard it explained that way. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I know how to move that stuff up into the screen and then push OK.
Got it.
And I'm there, right?
Yeah, as long as you do that while you're on the network.
Yeah.
When you go out of the network, it's still there.
I do that, and then it's saved into that box, and then I can take it to Cave Junction.
Yep.
Correct.
And it doesn't leak out on the way.
No, but if not, my phone is a hotspot that we can put it on the network so you can access the county, and we'll get you there.
Okay.
Cool.
Wendy?
We'll probably have paper copies for most of it. It's not a very long agenda, but I think it's substantive in nature. I did elect, I think the board concurred, that we're going to have the CJ buildings as a topic out there. Mm-hmm. I think that's appropriate. And there was an email.
I think Michael said he was going to
I believe
so. He's going to attend in case there's any questions.
There was a constituent who wrote in, you know, founded, valid concern.
Coffee's
about
ready.
Or done, somebody drank it, about the public participation element of the decision. And, you know, frankly, it's been a topic since I've been in office for 6.5, almost 7 years. For me, it just comes back to the charge of that building was to facilitate public services to the community of the Illinois Valley and Cave Junction, county public services. We don't do that anymore. And the meeting hall is really the big concern that I've always heard. And I just go through the list of how many different places there are to meet. And really, when we have a meeting of any substance, if it's fire-related or some of these other issues, that's not big enough. And it doesn't provide enough space.
The key that I look at from if you own that building, you need to be setting money aside to replace the roof and the air conditioning and the windows and paint it and pave the parking lot and everything. It doesn't cover the freight. It's a losing proposition, and it would be different if we had county offices out there.
It would.
A sheriff's substation or whatever. That's one thing. It used to be a sheriff's substation years ago. But when all of that went away.
And that wasn't a board decision to move it out of there. The sheriff just said, I'm out. And so,
you know, in my mind, we're just providing a building and all the upkeep and the roof not leaking and the environmental controls and everything out there for the public. But it's not that's not what we're here for, I don't think.
No, I think all of the election questions that we've put, and even the candidates, people want smaller, more efficient government. And we're not just, you know, spearheading and doing this in the Illinois Valley. We're doing it with all our entire portfolio. Everything up there that's teal, if it doesn't make sense anymore, we're getting rid of it, reducing the liability and putting more property back in the private sector's hands, taxpayers.
Well, and I think one of the key things to remember out there, too, and bring it up, is where the money's going to go. I think that's one of the one of the reservations of the people of the Illinois Valley is they go, yep, now you're going to take that money and then go right back to the courthouse and we'll never see it again. And that's not what, that's mm-hmm. not where, from the beginning, I think that was one of the real topics of should we sell that building is what happens to the money, and putting it back into the Illinois Valley is just, that has to happen.
I have a conference call with Kenny Houck is busy, but Cameron Camp on Thursday with our communication staff, John and Ryan, about what can we do to improve communications and reliability in the Illinois Valley for internet and phone. Tried to call my mom yesterday, and it says it's busy. She's got call waiting, you know, and that really is disconcerting to a lot of people who can't, you know, they don't know that their phone isn't ringing anymore. And that happens on a regular basis. So if the cell phones go down and the landlines, that whole place is just totally cut off, and we need to fix that. So, all right, well, not to belabor it, but I think it needs to be on our radar for the discussion tomorrow night. So anything else? Got your list all checked off, Commissioner Morgan?
We will have the first rounds of deputy director interviews on Friday morning.
Great.
And then we'll take the top two, refer them back, and bring them before the board.
Excellent. Glad we're doing that system. It makes a lot of sense to me.
There was an email about Beacon to Rob Brandis, because there's a sinkhole-looking thing up there, and we don't put a barricade around it. People have to go around it, so on and so forth. And they said, well, why doesn't the, you know, this gentleman said, why doesn't the county just step right up and put that to city standards, Beacon to city standards, so that the city will accept it, and so on and so forth. In my mind, it will never, ever be able to get to city standards unless city lowers their standards and says no sidewalks or something of that sort up on Beacon. Maybe that might be a subject for when we have our meeting with the city manager and the mayor and whatnot. You know, how can we twist that around and maybe phase that to get that into, get Beacon out of our jurisdiction?
That's a really great discussion as part of the intergovernmental agreement when we renew. So you know these processes. We have two urban growth boundaries. One is governed by an old IGA. One is governed by a new and temporary IGA. When the city finishes its infrastructure review, we're going to review it all and meld it into one IGA that will spell out how we work on those things. And the road standards within the city limits is part of that. And old IGA says county has to bring it up to city standards before the city will take a jurisdictional exchange on it. And your guys' predecessors three times have said that's not what, we just can't do that. I don't think it serves the best interests of Grants Pass or the county. We'll never. It would cost
topography lot wise, $2 million city street up there
to do Beacon. That takes our
how much?
It's 1.5 to 2 is what I've heard. That takes all of our roads and bridges reserve pretty much. So we don't have anything left, and that's just.
Well, if we can get them to relax their standards for that particular thoroughfare up there, because it's so steep up there, by the time you put two lanes, parking lanes, curb, gutter, and sidewalks, you are now almost at the guy's footing on the uphill side, and you're looking over his house, you're pouring dirt in his front yard on the other side.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some sort of a compromise there, a reduction in what their requirement is up there.
Yeah.
And sure, if you don't put sidewalks, you're not going to get CMAQ money, but you know what? If you don't put sidewalks, you don't have the expense of
maintaining them.
Maintaining or anything else. So I'd like to have that conversation. I know when I lived up in Beverly Drive, it was a subdivision up there, and they decided, okay, we're going to redo all of this. But because of the steep terrain, we ended up with two lanes, no parking lanes, curb gut. That was it. No sidewalk. And if cars were allowed, were able to pass, and so on and so forth. But it wasn't ideal, but at least it would get it out of our inventory. And maybe if we could do it, you know, in phases, three phases.
Like Fruitdale?
Kind of like Fruitdale. And get that ironed out. I'd love
Fruitdale's an alternate to Rogue River Highway, which makes it eligible for RV Act money.
Yeah.
That isn't.
It doesn't.
No.
But if we can work out something with the city to where they, because right now it's just for the people up on Beacon, that's the city's people up there, not ours. It's their citizens, so they have a dog in the fight also. But I think that you know, we got to get them to relax some of the stuff and look at it from a get it done perspective rather than just shove it off again.
Something we need to talk about. Okay. Anything else? For the good of the order? Board's adjourned at 10:20.